from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back into The Drive on 6th and Sports Radio, 6th and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here. Coming up in about 15 minutes, I will give you my NFL thought for the day. We've been talking a lot of baseball today, a lot of Olympics as well. If you want to check that out, you can do so on the podcast on 610sports.com, also on the Odyssey app. Let's head to the phone lines right now to catch up with. He is the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, but not this weekend. Brian Haney is going to be calling 3 Royals games this weekend, and you can hear that right here on 610 Sports Radio. First off, Brian, congratulations, man. I'm happy for you. And I guess secondly, man, how did this come together?
I think they approached us at the same time and thought it might be kind of fun with a couple of the holes in the schedule to have some purple influence from K-State and some crimson and blue as well. And Wyatt is a dear friend of mine and has done some Big 12 baseball in years past. I know he jumped at the chance and was super excited to do it. And we were trading notes back in April on how that experience went for him. And then I had the chance to do this Detroit series. And obviously when they ask you about that in February and you're talking about scheduling in August, you're hoping that it's meaningful baseball and, you know, making a push for the postseason, but you really don't know. And we knew that obviously Bobby and Salvi and Vinny were going to have good years, but could we have imagined all of this? And could we have imagined a season like Bobby Witt just turned in, doing things that we haven't seen done since Ty Cobb and Lou Gehrig in terms of individual month statistics and seasons that no Royals had other than George Brett. So pretty amazing stuff. But yeah, it's exciting to come along board in the midst of such a run for the Royals with such a positive vibe around this team, so much momentum, and really a great group of guys, not just the players, but the support staff and coaches, and everybody's been so welcoming.
Brian, what would you have said if I had told like 12-year-old you that, hey, one day you're going to call a Kansas National Championship game, you're going to call a KU bowl game, and you're also going to get an opportunity to call Major League Baseball?
Probably wouldn't have believed it, Carrington. I'd say, man, he's mighty blessed. He's living the dream. But I grew up, you know, idolizing George Brett and wearing the number 5 on my Kinberry League baseball team. That was the league back in Topeka back in the day. And, of course, collected all the rookie cards and everything. And actually, side note, tomorrow is National Trading Card Day. So we planned some cool stuff on the broadcast because Topps is a sponsor. And I know Bobby Witt's a big collector, so going to have to find out what his favorite card is. But the 12-year-old version of me, if that was the example you used, I was growing up in Topeka, listening to Fred White and Denny Matthews on the radio, cheering for all my favorite Royals at the time. But George Brett was the original favorite. And so to see the modern-day version of that, an iconic baseball star in Kansas City like Bobby and Salvi, who I've had a chance to interact with multiple times since coming back as voice of the Jayhawks, and he never disappoints. Just such a genuinely awesome guy. both on and off the field. This is a pinch-yourself type opportunity. So I'd say whether you ask the 12-year-old version of me or the current 44-year-old version of me, both is mighty blessed, mighty grateful, and just chomping at the bit to get the chance to do it.
Brian, it's funny because it doesn't matter where you grew up or how old you are. I feel like all of us boys had very similar experience. We all had trading cards. We all watched Pokemon. We all had, you know, a yo-yo or an action figure. You know, at some point, you just go through these phases as a young man.
No, no doubt. No doubt. I grew up, you know, to use your trading card reference, I grew up with the boom of all the additional card companies that came onto the scene, like 1989 Upper Deck. And that number one Ken Griffey Jr. card was the card that changed the face of modern collecting. And then, you know, obviously as a Royals fan, you collected the Bo Jackson 87 tops with the wood grain border and the rainbow colors of future stars across the bottom. Stuff like that are images of my childhood and memories that I associate some of the fondest moments of my childhood with. So, yeah, definitely it's fun as a baseball fan lifelong, but a kid at heart when it comes to our nation's pastime to get to live that in the here and the now. I mean, give you a story. You know, we pull up to the team hotel here in Birmingham yesterday when the team first gets in, and there's 15 autograph collectors waiting for Salvi and Bobby to get off the bus. I think Jake called them binder boys with their binders of cards to get signed. And I remember thinking, man, that was me 30 years ago. And it's neat to get to see the buzz around this team right now. But this time, you know, beyond the bus with them, it's pretty cool stuff.
Right now, we're talking to Brian Haney, voice of the Jayhawks. But this weekend, he is one of the voices of the Royals. He will be calling the three games over the course of this weekend in Detroit as the Royals take on the Tigers. Brian, you are in the middle of watching one of the great runs that we have seen here locally with Bobby Witt Jr. Every night it's a hit. Every night it's a home run. Every night he does something special. You got a chance to see greatness up close, you know, with a nice courtside seat at Allen Fieldhouse. This might be something that not even you have seen before.
Completely agree. I mean, he is rising so quickly into the not just MVP conversation with Aaron Judge. He's been there for a while, but best player in the game status. And there are so many superlatives that, you know, you honestly, you're not surprised by anything at this point. I referenced Lou Gehrig earlier in the conversation. We were looking at his month of July and first player since Gehrig in June of 1930 to have at least 44 hits and hit .489 or higher. To be clear, Gehrig had 55 and hit .495, so I guess there's still some room for Bobby to improve. But, I mean, if you have to go back that far, nearly 100 years, that's crazy. And to see what he's done in terms of Royals' legacy, just in a microcosm, in a vacuum of 1 month, obviously Joe Randa and Willie Wilson had months of hitting north of .440, but to hit .489, only the great George Brett ever topped that, and that was back in July of 1980, the year I was born. I was probably 1 month old at that time, and he hit .494. So we're seeing stuff that's rarely ever been done, and in some cases hasn't been done for 100 years. And like you said, it's something new every night. Nothing surprises you at this point. And to me, and I haven't been around him a ton yet, but he just seems to do it with such a joyful exuberance, fun to be on the field, fun to be around the guys. Boys are playing some ball. You got to love that mindset and mentality, because for him, at such a young age, he's still got that, you know, joyful, youthful exuberance inside of him, a kid enjoying the game of his youth and right now dominating the game much sooner than we ever thought he might, and to some degree, even more than many would have projected he would. So it's incredible to be along for the ride for this, and as Jake was joking about last night when he extended the hit streak and extended the multi-hit game streak, he leads the majors in multi-hit games with 47 of them. Jake was joking, it's July 32nd. We just kept this magical month going by one more night, and again, nothing surprises us at this point.
Brian, you've had the opportunity of calling baseball games. You have the opportunity to call football games. What I really love most about play-by-play guys like yourself is your versatility to be able to do it all. How is it different calling basketball, football, and now transitioning to calling pro baseball?
Great question, Carrington, and probably the reason why I was first drawn to college athletics on top of growing up a Jayhawk and falling in love with Allen Fieldhouse and all of that was the fact that you get a chance to do all three. And not many announcers do all three at the major conference level. Usually baseball is the first one to go because the college football and college basketball seasons are so taxing, and the idea of calling 56 more games in March through May becomes a lot for some. But I've always loved baseball, and I love the unique challenge you go from calling a frenetically paced basketball season at the highest of levels, like we're blessed to have it in Lawrence, to then a much slower game where it's more about picture painting and storytelling. I was really fortunate to get to study under Tom Hedrick, longtime voice of the Chiefs, the Jayhawks, the Cincinnati Reds. He literally authored the book, The Art of Sportscasting. And Tom always taught me, going back to day one of Sportscasting 101 at Kansas, that when you call baseball, and here's a trivia question for you and Rob, in a three-hour baseball game, and I understand that they're shorter now with the pitch clock, but it used to be three-hour games, how many minutes do you think the ball is actually moving around in play? You want to take a stab at this? I didn't prep you for this.
I'm going to guess 2 minutes and 45 seconds.
Hey, that's a pretty good guess, actually. Tom would tell you, at least back then when he was teaching the class, the answer is 12, okay? And how he got that number, I don't know, but I've quoted it ever since like a gospel. But the point of that is you've got 2 hours and 48 minutes of storytelling and picture painting. You get to describe with vivid imagery what you're seeing on the field and tell some great stories that you gathered around the batting cage or around the clubhouse, what have you. To me, that's an awesome challenge and a great reset of your broadcaster's brain on the heels of calling a sport like basketball where it's just constant action and you're just trying to keep up with the pace of play and call what you see as you see it. So I love it. And I tell people all the time, because probably the most commonly asked question I get is voice of the Jayhawks, which sport do you love the most? I always say, it depends on what season you're asking me that question, because it's easy to get swept up with the magic of Allen Fieldhouse, like I said, or March Madness. But I love baseball, and I'm probably a baseball guy at the core. And now with what Lance Leipold has rocking and rolling with football, playing meaningful college football in October and November is a freaking blast. I love it. So calling that is one of the great thrills of my career, too. So it's fun to get to do all three, and yet as a longtime baseball guy to get to do this for 3 days this weekend, a new kind of challenge is certainly something I'm immensely grateful for.
Brian, it's funny because I would say most people who choose my route of sports talk, you get into it because you want to talk about football, like you love the NFL and you just want to talk about it. What I've learned most about play-by-play people and people who choose to go to that side of broadcasting is, at the core, all of you love baseball play-by-play. Like, you fell in love listening to Denny Matthews or, you know, Fred White or Bob Davis or Max Falkenstein. Like, there were those very influential people early on that made you decide this is what you wanted to do for a living.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the voices of summer. You know, and this will date me a little bit because we didn't have every baseball TV broadcast online or on TV, and you certainly couldn't stream all 30 games, all 30 teams going on, but you fell asleep with the radio on. You listened as a kid to Denny and Fred describing the action, and then some folks know this. I think you probably do. I was Ryan Lefevre's, one of his first interns, and one of my very first duties working for KMBZ as a KU sophomore was chopping audio highlights of Ryan Lefevre back in like 1999, which was a ton of fun, and I learned so much from that, and he remains a mentor and friend to this day, and has probably done as much or more for me as anybody that's not KU-related Ryan Lefevre has, and that's really saying something, because I've had a lot of folks help me in this industry. Kevin Harlan, certainly. Mitch Holtis has been an inspiration, but Ryan has done as much or more for me than anybody that wasn't a Jayhawk, so I really appreciate him. But yeah, you know, you fall in love with listening to some of those voices, and as I said, fell asleep every night listening to those games, and that kind of becomes the narration of your childhood if you're a, you know, baseball kid like I was. And to get to now study Denny, and I've been shadowing them in the last couple of weeks before this road trip, getting a chance to be a fly on the wall up in the booth. Those are kind of pinch-yourself moments, too, to sit next to that iconic voice who's done it for closing in on 60 years and is in Cooperstown as a Frick Award winner up there with the broadcaster's wing of the Hall of Fame, and yet so gracious and welcoming. He gave great advice before we left on the trip as well. You know, have fun. you belong, you deserve this, but more than anything, just be yourself and have fun. And that coming from the Hall of Famer means a ton, and a guy that certainly was the first I ever listened to some almost 40 years ago. It's pretty surreal getting that conversation and having that advice 40 years later.
Last thing here, Brian, and I appreciate your time. We talked about Bobby Witt Jr., and he certainly is a draw for today. But, I mean, this is one of the better pitching matchups that you can have in the American League. You got two of maybe, what, the top 5-10 pitchers in the American League going up against each other. You go to this game for Bobby Witt Jr., but you're certainly going to stay for the pitching matchup.
We've been joking that with the pitch clock and with Scooble and Reagans, this could be a two-hour broadcast. But as soon as you say that, guys like Ryan and Joel are quick to remind you, you probably just jinxed yourself, and it's now going to be like 8-7, and very much not the pitcher's duel. But to your point, statistically, I mean, Scooble is number one in the AL and ERA at 2.35, and these are two of the top three strikeout throwers in the American League as well. Only Garrett Crochet of the White Sox has more Ks than Scooble and Reagan. Scooble with one more than Cole's got. The whip, which is walks plus hits per innings pitch for Scooble, is sub one, which is outstanding, and second only to Logan Gilbert. The opponent batting averages on these guys, I mean, Scooble gives up a 199 opponent BA, and Reagan's is 226. So this is lights out. I think obviously the tiebreaker in determining those two statistics and who's got the edge tonight is the fact that the lineup that Scooble will have to face from Kansas City, much more daunting than what Cole Reagans will go up against. We'll see if Javi Baez is back tonight. He missed some time tending to a family matter, but with him out and with, you know, you take a look at Torkelson, who's been sent down to the farm for the last couple of months, and then some of the trades and injuries that have occurred with this team, Riley Green on the IL right now for Detroit. The lineup they trotted out there last night, and Joel Goldberg came up with this stat, they had 1,815 career games played, 1 through 9 in the batting order last night, with Urshela having most of them. Salvador Perez was playing career game number 1501. So my point is, this is a pretty youthful and green Detroit lineup, and I think Reagans has a chance to post some nice K totals tonight and have the edge just based on quality of competition in the batter's box. But man, Scooble is the real deal, and it's hard to believe he only got one D1 offer from Seattle University coming out of high school, because this guy is some kind of phenom, that's for sure.
That is Brian Haney joining us on the show today. Brian Haney is the voice of the Jayhawks, but not for this weekend. He is one of the voices for the Kansas City Royals. You can catch him on the broadcast today. We got a great one. Two of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball. Brian, man, I'm happy for you. Congratulations, man. Enjoy the experience. I'm guessing it's going to go by real fast.
Thanks so much, brother. Really appreciate it. You get a kick out of this. Eric Guthrie, our producer, who's a big Mizzou guy like you, he tells me as part of my rookie hazing, I have to read the Mizzou Day at the K card that has an MIZ reference in it. So we'll see if he actually, you know, puts me up to that. But I knew you of all people would love to hear that, so we'll find out tonight.
I might actually record this, and then every time you come on afterwards, I'm just going to play you saying MIZ every time.
That's the intro, right? Yeah, we'll see if he actually follows through, but that's been the threat. And rookie hazing is real, so we'll find out if that happens tonight.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, buddy.
Congratulations to Brian Haney. He is calling the next three Royals games as the Royals are in Detroit. You know what? We're not going to take a break here, Rob. Usually we would, but it's 3:15 anyway. I want to do something a little different today for our NFL thoughts. So, Rob, I don't need you to hit the open. I don't need you to hit the sounder. All I need you to do is give me a little NFL music. So this weekend, we are inducting some new members into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Why don't we take a look into the future? And I tell you who has a chance to be a first ballot player for next year, and you tell me if you think they should be in on the first ballot. Hit me. Who I think is going to be the most debatable, Eli Manning. Is Eli Manning a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback? He is going to be a very interesting case. You guys know the two-time Super Bowl MVP, two big wins against the New England Patriots. He led one of the greatest drives in the history of football. He doesn't really have many other accolades outside of that. Now, Super Bowl MVP is certainly a great accolade. Is Eli Manning a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Are you asking me if he will be or should be? Because it's two different questions, Eli. He should absolutely not be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But you know what's going to happen? He won two Super Bowls. He beat Tom Brady twice. He was MVP. He'd be probably the best team we've ever seen play football. He played in New York. He's going, last name's Manning. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But I don't think he should be, but he will be.
I think that's a really good way of putting it in will he be versus should he be. I think they're going to make Eli wait 1 year. I think they're going to make Eli wait. Just, I'm looking at the guys, first ballot Hall of Famer, that's Aaron Rodgers. That's Joe Montana. That's Brady. Was Kurt Warner even a first ballot Hall of Famer? Warner had to wait a little bit to get in, didn't he? I'm pretty sure. I don't think Kurt Warner just got into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think he had to wait a couple of years to get in. Kurt Warner was a better quarterback than Eli Manning was. He was a better quarterback than he was. I'm going to go with no. I don't think Eli gets in on the first ballot. I'm going to go with no on him. All right, so we're going through the Hall of Fame. We're trying to see for next year who's going to be the Hall of Famers. Luke Kuechly, is he going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer?
No first ballot will get in. He's going to be a fascinating case study, but I think the case study will take time, and I don't think people will let him in the first ballot because he was great when he was on the field. But he retired young and tried to preserve his body because football is a very demanding position. There's nothing wrong with that. The way we look at that now societally is different than 5-10 years ago. But I don't know if the Hall of Fame committee has kept up with the way we view players like that. So he'll get in, but not first ballot.
Let me go back really quickly. I'm going to say yes for Eli Manning for this reason. You know they need, like, the marquee. You know how we talk about movies. You need that person on the poster. Who's going to sell the movie? The selling point is going to be the Manning brothers. Both of them are in. Peyton comes in. He does the introduction. Archie is there. It's the first family of football, so let me switch it. Eli will get in for all the politics and the reasons. My bad. I think Luke Kuechly's a first ballot Hall of Famer. You just let Patrick Willis in, right? Patrick Willis is going in this weekend. Patrick Willis is going into Hall of Fame. If he's a Hall of Famer, then Luke Kuechly is a Hall of Famer, right? I'm not crazy in that. If Patrick Willis is a Hall of Famer, then you have to let Luke Kuechly in. You know I'm really big on accolades.
Was Willis first ballot? I know Willis is in, but did Willis have to wait at all?
I think Kuechly had a better career than he did. I mean, Luke Kuechly won Defensive Player of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year, 5-time first-team All-Pro, 2-time second-team All-Pro, 7-time Pro Bowler. Like, I hate this notion of how long you have to play. I know it's a different comparison. None of us feel that way about Patrick Mahomes. Like, you can do enough in a short period of time. I'm not suggesting that Luke Kuechly is Patrick Mahomes. But if we're going off linebackers over the last 15 years, and he was not a sack guy, we're talking of just coverage end-to-end linebackers, there's not that many better than Luke Kuechly. I think if you don't vote for Luke Kuechly, you are doing it more as trying to make a stand and try to set a precedent more than voting on the player and what they accomplished. His resume is not changing. He's not coming back to play. Luke Kuechly he might actually be the youngest player to ever get in. Luke Kuechly's 33 years old. He might be the youngest player ever inducted into the Hall of Fame. Maybe there's somebody else. Maybe Gale Sayers is one of those players. But I would vote for Luke Kuechly into the Hall of Fame. Marshawn Lynch.
Absolutely not. Not first ballot.
Let me ask you this.
He might not get in at all, by the way.
You don't think Marshawn gets in?
I think it's going to be tight for
you
Marshawn.
You want to know how one moment changes somebody's whole career? If they give the ball to Marshawn Lynch, it is undeniable that he is a Hall of Famer. If he scores the game-winning touchdown in a Super Bowl and they have two Super Bowl wins, he probably wins Super Bowl MVP. He is he's unquestioned in there.
But
let me ask you this. How can you let LeSean McCoy in and not let Marshawn Lynch in? Are we just saying there's not many running backs from this era that are getting in? Adrian Peterson's getting in. Who else from that era we think is getting into the Hall of Fame? Because I would guess LeSean McCoy has a good chance of getting in.
I would tell you LeSean McCoy probably has better stats than he does. He has more accolades and better stats at every turn than Marshawn Lynch. He has more total yards than Marshawn Lynch. He has less touchdowns. That's fine. More total yards. He has Two-time Super Bowl champ versus the one. Two-time All-Pro versus the one. Six-time Pro Bowl versus the five. He was also on the All-Decade team. Marshawn Lynch wasn't. Like, every accolade favors LeSean McCoy. I don't think it's going to be a running back-heavy decade. LeSean McCoy, you're a big accolades guy. One All-Pro?
No, that's fair. I don't disagree.
I do think you're right, though. If he scores a game-winning touchdown and beats Tom Brady...
They put him in.
Because Hall of Fame is narrative-driven like everything. But now we look at the pure raw numbers. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
Terrell Suggs.
Yes, but not first ballot.
Okay.
Chiefs legend of Terrell Suggs.
So they got Suggs waiting a little bit.
They got Suggs waiting a little bit.
I think Suggs gets in, too.
You think he's on first ballot, though?
I don't think he's first ballot. I just think the Ravens have been so known for defense. There's some guys like you got to put in. He also won Defensive Player of the Year. If you win Defensive MVP, you eventually get in. Two-time Super Bowl champion, really one-time Super Bowl champion. I think he gets in. I think Terrell Suggs gets in. I don't think he gets in on the first ballot, but I do think he eventually gets in.
Are his numbers better than Jared Allen's?
I got to really look and compare the two.
Because I feel like Jared Allen's had to wait. Jared Allen's had to take his turn. 139 sacks for Sizzle. Like, okay, let's...
I would put in Suggs before I put in Jared Allen. Now, some of that is just the teams that you played on.
The accolade game favors Jared Allen significantly.
I don't disagree with you, but Suggs played on, I guess, a more iconic, more historic team. He also won a Super Bowl with that team. Like, if you're telling me right now only one of them can get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Terrell Suggs or Jared Allen, I would vote for Terrell Suggs over him. And it'd be close, though.
Their sacks are virtually the same, but Jared Allen, Defensive Player of the Year, four-time All-Pro, five-time Pro Bowler, outside of Super Bowl, everything's better in Jared Allen's camp, and he's had to wait.
I've got two more players for you. One is Joe Staley, one's Aqib Talib.
No one.
Neither one of them get in first ballot.
No, I don't think Talib gets in. At all. I don't think he gets in at all. I think Staley eventually does get in. I think he's probably the second best tackle of his era, so he eventually gets in. Thomas was better.
Someone just texted in, if Jamal's not getting in, then Marshawn Lynch isn't getting in either. That Super Bowl thing changes it, man. It changes it. Marshawn Lynch was on a Super Bowl team. It changes it. I don't disagree with you guys. If you were saying at their height, who was a better running back, Jamal Charles or Marshawn Lynch, I would agree with you. It is Jamal Charles. One of them had postseason. One of them did not. And I also think that Marshawn, just like, if you were thinking of like, I'm going to show you one play of why you should get in. The Marshawn play of why he should get in, we all know what you are showing people. And that's one of the best postseason runs we've ever seen before. So if it comes down to those two, it is more than just what the back of the football card says and more than just Marshawn has a better chance of – Jamal has no chance of getting in. Marshawn probably won't get into the Hall of Fame, but I do think that he has a chance of getting in. All right, coming up on the other side, let's get back to talking about the Kansas City Royals. They have a good one today against the Tigers. They won the first one. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, the only place in Kansas City that gives you a random Royals lineup.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck. Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
When is the plan to put pickleball into the Olympics? Because we know it's coming, right? I haven't been to Los Angeles in a while, but the Olympics are going to Los Angeles in 2028, and I'm assuming there's a lot of pickleball courts out there. I don't know this to be a fact. I have never played pickleball before. I've seen other people play it before. It does look fun. Rob, what's different about pickleball than tennis?
I mean,
because I've seen it played and it looks like it's the same. But pickleball right now just seems really hot. There's leagues popping up all the time. A lot of people are playing it. What's different between the two? Do you know? I don't have the answer.
I do. There's a couple rules that are different. So, like, there's an area right in front of the net that you're not allowed to just hang out in, where in tennis you can be in front of the net. The paddles are different than a racket, and the ball is more like a wiffle ball. Also, the size of the court. Like, you watch, I was watching a little bit of the tennis in the Olympics earlier today. Roland Garros is where they play the Olympics. It's a giant court. You're sliding from side to side. Pickleball's like they took a ping pong court and they made it bigger. That's kind of the vibe of pickleball.
Okay,
but yeah, it's coming. It's coming faster than
you played pickleball before?
I have. Now, I don't know I would put it in the Olympics, because it's a sport where you go to chicken and pickle or serve and you have a few beers and play with your buddies. That doesn't seem like an Olympic sport to me, like, but I digress.
I mean, they have badminton in the Olympics, and the only I've ever seen badminton is like at a family reunion. You've never just randomly played badminton before. It's usually been you're at a family reunion. Somebody tries to find something, like an activity for everybody to do. So somebody gets the badminton. Somebody plays with it for like 5 minutes, and then the kids just go do other things and start running around. I've never seen a serious game of badminton before. But that is also in the Olympics.
That's true.
Have you been seeing all these shooting events? Every time I look at it, it looks fun to me.
I've only seen the memes. I'm not going to lie to you. I've never sat down and watched the shooting events.
Okay, I didn't know.
There's that one dude from Turkey who is an international sensation now.
He's like John Wick.
He basically walks up, just minds his business, stands regular, boom, 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 bullseye, as opposed to the other people that have special glasses and special, like, they contort their body, and he just walks up, takes his shots, and leaves.
So somebody said pickleball is electric. It's also the true test of whether someone is an actual born athlete or not. I don't know anything about that. I'm not saying you are right or wrong. I just don't know. I've never seen pickleball played seriously or not. Every time I've seen pickleball played, it is usually what you just described. I'm at chicken and pickle. I'm eating, or I'm grabbing something to drink. I see people casually playing it outside. It's like, oh, that looks kind of fun. I might give that a try. But I've never seen people really get down and play pickleball before. That is something I would like to play. What's that game that you play on the inside? Squash? What is it called?
Or racquetball?
Racquetball. That's what it is. I knew it was something like that.
I don't – I've played racquetball before. I do not like racquetball.
That seemed dangerous, man. That ball just coming in here.
Wear the goggles and the whole deal.
I don't know. Somebody could die playing that. I don't know if that's a game that I would play.
I strongly disagree with the notion that pickleball is the test of whether someone's an athlete or not.
No. I mean, it might be. I don't know enough to say whether it is or it's not. I don't know. That's why sometimes on here I just give my opinion. Sometimes I'm asking a genuine question because you guys know more about a topic than I know about a topic. I know very little about pickleball. It just looks like baby tennis to me. But I do know that it's popular enough that I would assume that there's going to be a conversation in the short term about putting this in the Olympics. They have skateboarding in the Olympics. They have surfing in the Olympics. I'm not saying they shouldn't be, but they have these activities in the Olympics. They should probably have pickleball in the Olympics too. Are other countries playing pickleball, or is this just an American thing? Like right now, if you go to Canada, are they playing it?
I would imagine so, but I honestly can't tell you at all.
I don't know. Someone says any game that you can play four beers deep successfully is not a true test of athleticism.
100% agree. 100% agree.
You can play golf drunk.
Not well.
John Daly does.
Not well anymore.
That's because he's washed now. It's because he's cooked. That's because he's washed. But when he was at his prime, he could smoke that whole pack of cigarettes, drink that whole Natty Light, and go out there and shoot four under. That was his fuel.
I mean, now he spends a weekend signing autographs at Hooters, then chugs a few beers and hits the Masters course. I mean, that's not an athlete anymore.
Okay. I am happy that, Rob, you and I haven't talked about the controversy that's going on right now in the Olympics. I'm happy that you haven't even brought it up to me to talk about. I'm happy that you and I are on the same page. Like, nah, I don't want to talk about it. I'm okay.
I'm good.
I'm gonna let y'all have it.
Pass.
Y'all been arguing on Facebook about this. Y'all really been arguing on this about Facebook for years, and now y'all got an example in the Olympics. Y'all couldn't wait to argue about this. No, y'all got it. Y'all got it. My whole timeline right now is arguing about this and Donald Trump. Y'all are miserable online. Gotta be miserable online. Y'all wake up to do that every day? Nah, I'm good. Y'all got it. I have no thoughts on either one of them. No, keep it away from me. Keep it away from my timeline. I don't have nothing to say about it. You have any other Olympic thoughts before we move on? Those are all I have on the Olympics for right now. I might have something later in the show, but right now, those are my only two Olympic thoughts. Please stop arguing about that topic. You don't know nearly enough about it to be arguing about it. That's number. You don't know nearly enough. It's okay to say that about topics. That's what I hate about social media. Just because you see it happening, you don't have to chime in. You don't know anything about it. You dropped out of Longview. It's okay. Some topics you can just stay out of. I don't know. I work construction. That's great. Just stay out of it. I don't know anything about it. I haven't said anything about it. I don't know.
That topic is getting worse because people like McAfee and Stephen A., who have big megaphones, have made it bigger.
Pat McAfee said, he said yesterday, I have done no research, and then started talking about it. Well, you don't have to. You can talk about whatever you want. Just stop. You know, that's it. I don't have an opinion. I don't know anything about it. I leave it alone. If y'all want to argue about it, fine. Go ahead and argue about it. I don't have any interest in arguing with any of you about that topic. That just seems like an absolutely miserable thing to be on the internet arguing about. All right, Rob, I want to play this for you here. Let's switch the energy up just a little bit. I want to play this for you. This was George Brett. He was on our show a couple days ago. He was talking about Bobby Witt Jr. He's really high on him.
I'm amazed every time I go to the ballpark. And, you know, we had Bo Jackson weekend about 3 weeks ago, and I made a comment. I never missed one of his at-bats. Well, I never missed one of Bobby's at-bats either. You know, I go to a lot of the games. Sometimes I leave early. But if Bobby Witt's coming up to bat in the bottom of the eighth inning in Kauffman Stadium, I'll stick around at least to watch him hit. He's an amazing athlete. He plays baseball, I think, the way I did. He runs everything out. He's always thinking about the next base. Obviously I think he's a lot more talented than I am because of his speed and his arm, his accuracy and the things that he can do, the power at such an early age. I didn't develop power till I was about 25, 26, but he's got power at 23. He had power last year at 22, but, he's, in my opinion, one of the best players in baseball.
The best thing I think you can say about an athlete is that they are worth the price of admission. And if you buy a ticket right now to see Bobby Witt Jr., you are absolutely seeing a show. We'll get back to the Royals coming up at the top of the hour. I have an observation that we all should have came to a long time ago. What Patrick Mahomes and this team was able to do last season is one of the most incredible feats in NFL history. I'll explain how. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio, home of the hallowed title, Friend of the Show.
I'm very happy to be a friend of the show. It's always good to talk to you, man.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. Rob is going to be off all of next week. He is going to Montego Bay with his new wife. So congratulations to both of them. We're certainly going to miss Rob next week. But you know what? Rob is gone for a good reason. So I know on Wednesday, like, where's Rob? Is he gone? No. Well, he's gone, but he ain't gone. Rob is fine. Rob just got a promotion. Rob's good. I'm good. Rob's good. We're fine. I know this is going to come up next week. Stop. Everything's okay. This is what I want to tell you guys. This is important for me to tell you guys this. I want us to just take a little bit of time and appreciate what Patrick Mahomes did last season. Now, I don't have to tell you guys because you know what Patrick Mahomes did last season, but I'm going to tell you anyway. So you guys might know this, the Marquez Valdez-Scantling, he was on the Chiefs last year. Things didn't go so hot with the Chiefs last year. And now he plays for the Buffalo Bills. Did you know that it's not going that well with the Buffalo Bills? Here's their reporter, quote, "As camp goes on, there may be clear signs that their top five may be a four with MVS in the background and needing to battle his way back into the rotation. He has faded into the background in the last few practices. He is yet to make a strong impression in the passing game during team drills, and his opportunities with Josh Allen have been dwindling. It is at the point that when the Bills split their roster in half, with subs on each side, Scantling is over on the other field with the second and third units. It was even more noticeable due to Chase Claypool missing practices the last couple of days with a toe injury. I just want us to take a little bit of a break and acknowledge that last year, MVS, the same guy who might get cut from Buffalo's wide receiver room, Buffalo's. We ain't talk about Chicago's. We ain't talk about Houston's or Cincinnati. MVS might get cut from Buffalo's wide receiver room. That was the most experienced wide receiver the Chiefs had last year. The most experienced wide receiver that they had last year might be out of the league. Second is Kadarius Toney, who my dear friend Nate Taylor told me at every time the Chiefs thought was a star. They were wrong. Patrick Mahomes did this last year with a Bills cast off. Kadarius Toney, who at no point proven that he is a consistent NFL player. And Sky Moore, who also at no point has proven that he is a consistent NFL player. Them boys got the drops. Can we just sit back and acknowledge for a bit how impressive it is that the Chiefs were able to band things together to win the Super Bowl? I don't know how they did it with those individuals. I really don't. Sky Moore was doing everything he can to mess things up for the Chiefs. Have you ever had like your kids try to help you with something and they end up making it worse than what actually when you started doing it? And eventually you're like, hey, I like your energy, but go sit down somewhere. Go watch TV. Go do anything. Please don't help me with this anymore. You helping me is not helping me. In fact, you are making it worse. That's what Sky Moore was last year for the Chiefs. He was just 7-year-old that's trying to help you cook. You would have been done with this 20 minutes ago, but little Billy wants to pour the milk in there. He spilled the milk. Now you got to take time to clean it up. You got to warn him not to touch the stove. Go play a video game. Go play the Switch. Thank you. I'll let you know when dinner. That's what Sky Moore was last year. Kadarius Toney. What can I say about Kadarius Toney? You guys believed in him. You did. I know you guys. No. Yes. I was here. I know you believed in Kadarius Toney. You saw him make one. He had one move in a regular season game. He had one punt return. Y'all was hot and heavy. Beside yourselves for Kadarius Toney. You guys were throwing out, oh, he could be, you guys were calling him Percy Harv. It was nuts is what it was. He about to get cut from the Chiefs wide receiver room for Justin Watson, who ran a 4.9 probably in the combine. Patrick Mahomes won the Super Bowl with them individuals. The league is going to wake up one day. I'm telling you. I know this happened. Have you ever, maybe this happens to me because Robbie, just I can't be Rob in the college football game. I can't do it. I'll just be sitting there happy. It'll be like 7:47. And I'll be thinking, man, why did I throw that pass on third down? It'll just be eating away at me. Like, bro, you should have won that game. I'd be mad sitting there. I know that moment happens to Josh Allen. He's just sitting there with his girl. They're probably having a great dinner. A dinner that you and I maybe can't even afford. They got $300 lobster tails coming out, the finest steaks, the bottle, the whole bottle. They're not just getting a glass of wine. They got the whole bottle of wine. I know they're having a great time. And Josh Allen be sitting there like, bro, I lost to them. I can't believe I lost to the Chiefs last year. It makes me sick. I know Lamar Jackson has watched film and kicking himself. I know he has. How do we lose to MVS, Kadarius Toney, and Sky Moore? How do we lose? And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, how do we lose to those guys? You know it has to be burning them up. You know it does.
You know what's crazy? In the biggest moment of the AFC title game, you know who Patrick Mahomes threw it to? MVS. Hey, we got to ice down this win. We're up 17-10. Third down. Let's find 11. That was the game plan, and it worked.
No, that was the game plan.
By the way, when you say you, you don't mean us. This show remains steadfast. We were never Kadarius Toney people.
No, never. I don't. What are you talking about? Never. No. I mean, you're the only two people. Why we ride together. We're bad boys for life. We ride together, we die together. You're the only two people. Now, I did like the trade. You didn't like the trade.
Oh, I
did like the trade.
Are you ready to admit the trade was bad? The trade failed. It's okay to say that. The trade failed.
Yeah, that's fair.
You can lose trades and win games. It happens. The trade failed. Because the Giants turned around and turned Kadarius Toney into Darren Waller, who before Kelsey Plum divorced him was actually a viable NFL player. And now he's a SoundCloud rapper.
Can I just read you this text really quickly? Let me just read this to you. CDOT, Patrick is phenomenal, but he had an incredible defense. Settle down. Great all-time NFL performance? No. I just, if you don't think Patrick Mahomes had an all-time great performance, I would just encourage you to watch like the last 10 minutes of the Super Bowl. That's all I would like for you to do. I know you saw it. It's one of the five most watched television events in the history of the world. But maybe you forgot. I would just, right now, I'd get on the Google machine. I go to YouTube.com. I would watch the last two possessions of the Super Bowl. I don't even know what number it was. 57. I don't know what number they're at. But you know the one I'm talking about. It was in Las Vegas. Ice Spice and Taylor Swift was there. And I just want you to watch the last two possessions. And then tell me that Patrick Mahomes did not have an all-time performance in the Super Bowl. I don't care what the stats say. I mean, he had a good game. He threw for over 300 yards, had two touchdowns. The two drives that he led for them to go down the field are all-time drives in the National Football League. You can't tell me otherwise. I don't care. All-time performance. Yes, the defense was good. Somebody has to catch the balls that he throws. I understand that. Watch the last two possessions. And just like it's different, man. You could see it. It's just that guy's different than everybody else out there on the field. Coming up on the other side, Rob, let's get to the Royals. The Royals won yesterday. If they win today, you know what? They guarantee a split in Detroit, but it's not going to be easy. They're going up against the best pitcher in the American League. Keep right here. It's The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.